Well, Frank, the All County League's up and running now for a few weeks, and well, I suppose any early signs or any early trends developing when you look through the divisions 1 and 2 in particular.
On 3 or 4 games, and it's probably the first opportunity you take to actually start looking at tables to see if there are any patterns. But the thing that stands out in Division 1 is Gwydor setting the pace. 2-1s and a draw, and there's no point asking the fact, but I think Gwydor probably underwhelmed in the last couple of years when you consider some of the talent that is down there in Maharagallan. So I wonder, is that a precursor to maybe towards things in the championship? Because you look at some of the minor players that have come through there, and the 4 or 5 guys that are on the senior panel, they should be doing a lot better than they have been for the last couple of years. So that's kind of interesting. The other big thing as well, I suppose, just from pure parochial and a South Donegal perspective, is looking at Division 2 there at the bottom of the table. 3 games, no points. Killybegs, such a huge club to be struggling, and to be struggling at the wrong end this early in Division 2, because it's a real dogfight there. You look at some of the clubs there, 4 Masters, 2003 county champions. You have Neve Columba, St. Nolan's in Division 2. Killybegs aren't going to get anything easy there, and just at the top of Division 3, look, below them, Eirua, if Eirua can drift down to the lower realms of club football in Donegal, it's not out of reach of Killybegs either. So Killybegs would want to pick up points pretty soon, and they're in Neve Wirra, I think, tomorrow on Sunday against another side that hasn't hit the ground running in Division 2, Eamon Boyle, Neve Wirra. So that's a huge game. It'll be interesting to see what happens there, but early on, they're the 2 things that kind of jump out at me.
Yeah, and we'll stick with Division 2 when we're at it. Glenfinn down there as well.
Glenfinn moves to the bottom of the table. There's actually 3 sides, Glenfinn, Killybegs and Neve Wirra, all pointless after 3 games. The whole rest of 3 games there are all up to date. There's some clubs in Division 1 actually that are still on 2 games, but Division 2 is up to date there at the minute. And there's a bit of pattern developing. Malin and Clonhilly.
Yeah.
Leading the charge there, Sean McCools and Mulford as well. Mulford showing good fight in Division 2 there, 3 games and 4 points. And as you said, 4 Masters looking to bounce back. St. Noel's an interesting one too. Donny McCall and Brian McCabe in charge there. I've actually availed of seeing St. Noel's twice already this season. They had a ferocious local derby against 4 Masters, which was pretty tasty. And just on a separate note, it was very good to see Brian McGrory back playing there. I know Brian would have played a bit of soccer and kind of drifted off the JR radar for a couple of years with injuries, but he looked a real talent there. And if you chat to people like Martin McHugh and people that would have seen him up close at underage, apparently he was the pick of the bunch, at under 14, under 16. So if St. Noel's could have Brian McGrory back and fitting well, it would be a great boost for the Mount Charles club.
Any surprise at Mallon and Clonhilly setting the early pace there?
I don't think so, Tom. Over the years, Mallon always, at the start of the season, maybe have been welcoming boys back to soccer. Maybe they've struggled to pick up points. But we've seen in Championship, maybe towards the latter end of the league, they've always been fit to pick up points against big clubs. And I suppose it's just maybe been focused and channeling their complete and undivided attention towards the GAA. And they seem to have done that from the off this year. And Clonhilly, plenty of good footballers in Clonhilly over the years. I've seen them in action last year against Ardrath in the relegation playoff. And I mean, a lot of those names on that Clonhilly side would jump out of you, from representing Donegal and underage sides in the past there. But it's just a matter of getting everybody pulling in the same direction. I wouldn't be surprised there at all. Again, just, I suppose, looking from a South Donegal perspective, the longer the likes of maybe the 4 Masters and the Killybegs and the Neve Columba and these sides leave it, the harder it will be, because I think it's a lot easier to stay in Division 1, sides will tell that, than it is to get out of Division 2. And you want to be playing your trade in Division 1 anyway. I think if any club wants to progress and bring youngsters on, Division 1 is the place to be.
Anyway, looking at the games in Division 2 tomorrow, you mentioned Neve Wirra versus Killybegs. That's a game I think you're going to yourself. In terms of games, that's a big game, as we say, for both sides, because they're at the bottom, no points from 3 outings.
Big game for them, surely, Tom. I've been down in Neve Wirra a good bit in the last couple of years, and I mean, off the field, I mean, the development that's going on there is brilliantly, and they're really ambitious too when you see what's inside their clubhouse. And I think appointing Eamon O'Boyle was a bit of a statement too. And you look at some of the younger players that are down there, the likes of the Yanks, Adi O'Gara, Dara White, I mean, even Jack O'Brien. There is a good bed of talent there, and Eamon wouldn't want in there if he didn't feel he could add something. And I know they haven't got off to the best starts, but a win against Killybegs this, I know it's early in the league, but it leaves Killybegs rooted to the bottom of the table, and suddenly, propels Neve Wirra on to 2 points. So that's a very interesting tie. It's probably the most interesting out of the lot in Division 2 at the weekend, and that's the one actually we're going to be taking in with the Donegal Post tomorrow.
And Killybegs, of course, they'll have Hugh McFadden back after the county duty.
Yeah, Hugh McFadden back, but if there's any club that you would feel a bit sorry for, and the current climate and over the last couple of years is Kelly Beggs. I mean, we talk about maybe some clubs maybe not producing the players they were, but when you start to list out, and it's only by listing out the players that aren't available to Kelly Beggs anymore through immigration and guys off on their travels, and even up to count the likes of Sean Kelly and Jamie Coleman in that bracket too, because they were former Kelly Beggs stars that were probably earmarked for bigger and better things before soccer maybe took over. I mean, I was chatting to Hugh McFadden recently, just off the record, and just over a cup of tea, and he started, I think we got up to about 11 or 12 players, and a lot of those players, like to the Baker Boyles, the Brian Fahertys and these guys, they had played for Donegal under 21, Donegal Minors. There was a very good Killybegs minor side, I think around 2007, 2008. Tom, that got to an Ulster Club final. That's the side that probably should be representing them at senior now, but of course, the downturn in the economy, Killybegs, you know, being what it is at the moment in terms of work, those players just departed for places like New York, Australia, and different things, and you feel a bit sorry for them because they were, and they are still such a big name in Donegal J circles.
And another game in that division tomorrow is for Sinéad and Sean McCool's.
Yeah, Sinéad, Sean McCool's. I said I've seen Sinéad a couple of times already this year, you know, two points. They've got the 1-1 under the belt, but Sean McCool's are 3 games and 4 points, so there's not much there, and a 1 there for St. Noel's would bring them on a par with the Balbuffet Club, but of course the Balbuffet Club breathing down the necks of league leaders there, Malin and Clonaily. So as you said, it's early days, but I think 3 or 4 games in is when people start to ask you about tables, and it's when you start taking a wee bit of a look at them yourself, and from here on in, especially in Division 2, it's always a busy end, you know, come the tail end of the season of sides looking for promotion and things to get there. So it's an exciting league, and there's some big teams in there, and it's every bit as competitive, Tom, maybe as the lower half of Division 1. Like, I think it's fair to say come Championship, realistically 4 or 5 sides will have their hands up, and it's the same in the league. You know, I think there is a two-tier in Division 1 where anything below, you know, 4th and 5th place, it's really competitive and doggative, and any team at the top of Division 2 would, you know, feel no bother of holding their own. I see Bundoran finally got off the mark last week, they won 2. So that'll be a good barometer to see, you know, a side coming up that, you know, were very successful last year at Division 2, how Bundoran, they'll probably look to consolidate around, you know, the mid-table or to lower of Division 1. And that's what those sides coming up from Division 2 want to do, you know, get their feet in Division 1, stay there.
Four Masters, St. Olds, how do you see that one going? McCool's, how do you see that one going?
I think McCool's might just maybe have a wee bit too much for them, Tom, to tell you the truth. St. Noel's have a young side there. A few players away as well. I don't know if they'll be welcoming them back later on in the season. But no, I think just McCool's probably should just have a wee bit too much for Donny McCall and Brian McCabe's side there.
And for Masters, an opportunity to make ground on Malin on Clonaily tomorrow when they host Malin in Tyrconnell Park.
Aye, Tom, that's vital. I mean, Four Masters probably been flirting with relegation from Division 1 for a number of seasons. It finally happened this year. And, you know, it's not that long ago that Four Masters were county champions, you know, at the beginning of the millennium. And you look at the players over the last 15 years from that club that have represented Donegal, the Shane Kiars, Barry Monans, you know, Barry Dunyans, Carol Lacy's, Paul Durkin. So I think they'll want to, you know, nip that in the bud before it festers any longer, because as you said, you could easily get drawn into a dogfight in Division 2 too. I think for Masters, they get a 1 at the weekend, takes them to 6, and they'll be, I suppose, confident of maybe, you know, being at the business end of things too when promotion comes about, because we're going over old ground here, but you want to be in Division 1, and for Masters as a club definitely would want to be in Division 1 too.
Is home advantage something that is important in league games?
I don't think so, Tom. Domestically in club football, it's not something where the crowd are going to make it any tougher for you, and it's not enough travelling, unless you're Neve Columba going to Mahalan, it's going to be that big of an issue either. No, I think at inter-county level, of course, it can play its part, but I think at club level, you know, players love getting out and getting about, and it was something that the Bundoran players would have referenced even last year when they secured the promotion, that they were really looking forward to going to places like O'Donnell Park, maybe going to the, you know, the Neve Connells and places like that there. So no, I wouldn't read anything in the home advantage in club football.
Well, will it matter tomorrow for Four Masters and Mahalan?
Well, the Malin is probably the only journey that you might find a bit difficult, but, you know, fair play to Malin, they have their house in order and they're in Division 1, and if you have to travel up there, you have to travel up there. But I suppose it's one of the fixtures that you look at right away when they come out to see, are you home or away to Malin? I mean, you probably breathe a sigh of relief if you are at home, because it is a long, old journey, and fair play to anybody that, you know, that works out of the county, you know, the Dublins and places like that, to travel home to Malham, because I know a lot of people in my own club, and probably the same in Dunloe and Glenties, travel, you know, back on a Friday, and I suppose when you reach the likes of Ballyshannon, and you still have to make it the whole way to Malham, it's a long old trek. So, no, fair play to Malham, they're putting in the work, and they're in division, they're there in merit, you know.
How do you see that one go tomorrow?
That's a difficult one. It's probably there's not much in it on the table. I know it's early, as we said, but I suppose Malham with home advantage.
No, it's four masters at home, actually.
Four masters at home advantage. Could be a draw, Tom, or maybe four masters might just edge it, but it'll be physical and it'll be a good competitive game.
And next, Glenfenn at home to Clonmacnoise, two teams at either end of the table.
Yeah, I would say Clonmacnoise won't have much difficulty in Glenfenn, judging by, you know, the early scores and the early results and that there. Glenfenn probably have to get off the mark sooner rather than later, and if they can do it at home, or if they can't do it at home, it'll probably be a big worry, because that'll take them to four games and 0 points. I suppose Clonmacnoise, they look to be focused and they look to be collectively pulling in the same direction this year. So on paper, at least, it looks like Clonmacnoise should be fit to edge that there.
And the two promoted sides who are doing well, Neave Columba, are at home to Milford tomorrow.
Yeah, very surprised with the run that Milford have made, because I wouldn't know that much about them, but jumped to Division 2 and set the kind of pace they have. You know, 2-1s out of 3, fair play to them. Neave Columba, great to see them back too, and performing well in Division 2. I think it was early on or late on last year that their under-21 side would have took Kilkear right to the wire, and a Kilkear side that went on to win the under-21. So it must mean that, you know, the good work that Neave Columba have been doing over the last 5 or 6 years after they originally drifted off the radar is finally bearing fruit now. And to see Neave Columba back and being competitive, and some of the underage talent, Tom, that they're producing in there, we would have seen it with the Kerry Vocational Schools, and I would have seen it myself recently in the minor games. Young Lanty Malloy looks a real prospect in the Aaron Doherty too. I know he wasn't playing in the minor game that I seen, but another very talented player. And as I said, you know, club football will be all the better for it of the likes of Neave Columba back challenging and challenging the higher regions of league football and hopefully championship too somewhere down the line.
But Milford obviously will argue the same, that it'd be good for football in their area as well. Danny O'Donnell moved in there, has done a good job.
Oh, great job. Very impressed. And Tom, I mean, the shift from what football, I suppose, the traditional strongholds, what I used to recognise it growing up and going to games, I mean, it's completely changed the other direction. I mean, I don't remember ever an underage player going to the likes of Milford, or going even back in the day going to the likes of St Michael's or Glenswally. Things have completely changed. The landscape's completely changed. And fair play to Milford as well. You know, if they're putting in the work and they're getting the results, you just have to hold your hands up to them.
How do you see that one?
I think I'll give Milford the nod there. I think they're travelling in the Glenconkill, so might make it a wee bit difficult for them. But no, I think with, you know, that wee bit ahead in the table, so I'll give the hesitant vote to Milford.
Anyway, moving on to Division 1, you mentioned the striking thing. One of the striking things that struck you about Division 1 is Gweedore topping the table and a very good start. I suppose the other one, I'm not sure if you missed it or not, but Glenswally are pointless after 3 games.
Yeah, the league's a funny one. I suppose Glenswally probably operating without Michael Murphy, and I know Neil Galler's still injured. They'll have Michael with all the county players available this weekend. Michael will be back there in tow anyway, but maybe you can correct me, but I think Glenswally would have won the championship before, maybe been relegated in the same year or else been in Division 2. Would that be correct?
Yeah, probably.
So I think, you know, it depends really what you want out of the league. I don't think Glenswally will be too concerned of where they are in the league. They're one of those sides that, you know, they're probably trying to take players into, because they're not always going to have the Neil Gallers not around, and they're probably not scared to throw in the couple of youngsters, and that's what league football does. I know St Unions do the same thing too. They carry on with or without their county players and giving lads games. The league, Tom's a funny one. Early doors, it's great because you have your county players and there's still that excitement. And I suppose for sides like Glenswally, you know, the Neave Connells and the St Unions, a league title is a great thing, I think, if it goes along with a championship and it's a double. But for sides, maybe, you know, the likes of Kilkear, maybe, and St Michael's that have won it in recent seasons, it's probably bittersweet, because both those clubs would have set their stalls out, you know, in a desperate search of a senior club championship, and it hasn't quite happened for them. So the league's a strange one in that there, since I suppose when Donegal season kicks into play in a couple of weeks' time too, it'll start to become starting a bit static. So I think enjoy these games early on when we have the county players and there's a bit of a buzz with it just getting underway.
Anyway, looking at the games, your home club Ard Ra, and new manager Seamus Gallagher in there, at home to Gweedore tomorrow. They'll soon find out where they're at.
Yeah, well, we got off to a good start against Glenswally, first day and under a new manager. You know, that was probably crucial because it is a bit of a transitional period in Ardra, and I suppose when you lose players over the last couple of years, you know, the likes of the Peter McHughes and the Eamon Dohertys and even the Damien Devers before that, they're big voices, Tom, in the dressing room. And I suppose we've kind of been unlucky that right away, you know, the immediate group after that, the Kenneth Dohertys, you know, work commitments is, you know, robbed us of his services. Brenton Boyd has had a few injuries. So it's kind of fallen on, you know, the younger lads, maybe again, you know, mid-20s, the Conor Classens, these guys who's a new club captain, but got a bit of a rude awakening against Francie Freeland's Terriman last time out in Ardra. Very bad first half, probably, you know, lent itself to Terriman actually, you know, getting over the line. And that's another interesting one for Terriman too. I think they've sent Union this weekend, so that'll be a test of just how far, because I think they got it a wee bit too easy in Ardra. It'll be a bit of a more test just to see where they are in Division 1 too. And I think Terriman last year probably ran, they've Connell as close as anybody in the championship, and I was very impressed with Darren McDade, you know, from open play and from dead balls. The last day Terriman looked well organised and well drilled, so it'll be interesting to see how they fare too, you know, in the long run, Division 1.
And our draw tomorrow against Gweedore, what's the prospects?
Oh, nothing but a Gweedore one, Tom, that's all I can see there. I hope a few of the Ardra boys are listening. And no, I don't know, I think it should be tight and competitive, you know, but I just think Gweedore seemed to have a bit between their teeth early on, and I just think Ardra maybe, you know, missing those couple of guys like Kenneth Dohertys and Brenton Boyd at the moment, it probably just leaves them a wee bit stretched. So I think Gweedore maybe just about edging that there.
Yeah. St. Michael's finally got out of the blocks last weekend against Glenswilly. They're at home to Bundoran.
Yeah, Bundoran got off the mark 2 points, you know, and it's great to see Bundoran challenging where they are, because they had a great season last year. But, I mean, we all know St. Michael's on paper, and at least in the league as well, you know, they don't really miss a beating with the likes of Colin McFadden, Christy Toy and these guys. I think they'll just have a wee bit too much for Bundoran.
Yeah, and we mentioned Glenswilly already. Pointless after three games. They have a tough one tomorrow, even though they're at home. Kilcare, one of the early pace setters too.
Aye, Kilcare always another good league side, and, you know, there'll be eyes looking at them. For the simple reason, Martin McHugh is taking them over and wondering, can he be the missing link or bridge that gap? But, you know, they've you know, flattered to deceive in recent years. They're always in most people's tips, you know, and we talked about that four or five sides with realistic championship ambitions. Kilcare, always one of them. So it'll be interesting to see how Martin sorts them out. They've been racking up some big scores as well in their first couple of games. And I suppose, you know, Glenswally being Glenswally, tough physical team, they're probably the kind of side that Kilcare have struggled against in the championship. And I suppose getting a victory over the likes of a Glenswally or a Gweedore in the league will probably, you know, boost Kilcare's, you know, confidence, because as we said, lovely side to watch and lovely and free flight. But the question usually is asked of them when they meet a physical team. So if they go over the line against Glenswally, that'll be a big boost for them as well in the league.
And can they, do you think?
I think they will, yeah. I think they're flying high. And I think the spread of players that Kilcare have, you know, there's 7 or 8 players that can really hurt you. When you think of Paddy McBerty, you know, Ryan McHugh, who are going really well for Donegal at the moment. Even Steve McBerty showed flashes last week against Dublin, what he's capable of, and he was very impressive for the under-21s a few weeks before that and their defeat in Derry. So, no, I expect Kilcare to win there, and to win with a wee bit to spare, Tom, to be honest.
Mm. You mentioned St. Junan's, you mentioned Terman playing St. Junan's. That game is O'Donnell Park tomorrow.
Yeah, interesting one, because we already spoke about it there a moment ago. Terman are up in Division 1, they had a good one in our draw. But St. Unions are probably the barometer. You know, I think St. Unions and Nave Connell are probably that wee bit ahead, even of the 2 or 3, you know, the Glenswillies, maybe the Kilcares and so that are, and St. Michael's that are behind them. I think St. Unions and Glenties are the two standout sides in club football, and whether that's in the league or championship. So Terriman and Francie will probably see a little bit more closely where they are when they take on St. Unions. And even interesting with David McGinley there, Tom, you know, what way is he going to set St. Unions up? I haven't seen St. Unions this year, but I do remember David being a very intelligent and even attractive footballer when he played the game. So it's all new there as well in O'Donnell Park, and I'm sure they'll be refocused and maybe re-energised with that their appointment and probably strengthen their championship crown. Nave Connell last year probably stings. So, no, it's interesting across the board, Tom. There's loads of wee things looking at both those divisions that catch your attention.
Hmm. St. Unions, too strong for Terman?
Yeah, I would envisage, Tom, that they would have a wee bit to spare, but I think St. Unions probably will have a wee bit to spare over most sides in league this year, so it'll not worry Francie, I don't think, in the slightest. They'll be earmarking certain games to pick up points. Like a lot of the clubs that maybe, you know, are from fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth down that division. I think, as we said earlier, it's kind of a two-tier in Division 1. And if you can hold your own against the sides that you envisage you'll be struggling against later on in the year, that's all their managers will be concerned about.
And the final game, Frank, is in Rosses Park, Dunlower at home to Naoimh Connell. One of the sides you mentioned is obviously one of the reigning champions and championship contenders, obviously, again this year.
Yeah, Naoimh Connell, listen, you can't take it away from them. They were deserving championship winners last year, Tom. They were very impressive. Dunlow in Division 1, I suppose, looking at what they're trying to do is bring players in, hold, as Tony Boyle said, you know, encourage enough results in the championship last year, and I suppose trying to hold their own, consolidate their position and bring some of the talent that's an underage and Dunlow through. And there is some good talented underage players there. But again, I think Naoimh Connell, along with St. Junans, are the big sides at the moment in Donegal, and I just think Naoimh Connell, even in Rosses Park, will have too much for Dunlow.
So all in all, a busy weekend, and obviously going to get a good run of club games now with county players because of the county not out until June in the championship.
No, that's what I said. We should enjoy it. You know, we get a good old run, and it's early days where most clubs are excited about getting back down and playing football after maybe training since January. So no, these next couple of weeks should be enjoyable, and I suppose at the end of it, before June 12 and the Donegal intercounty season picks over, we should have a fair idea of what shape, you know, the leagues are taking, because we'll probably be, you know, six, seven games in at that stage.